Hey, it's John from CityCast. If you're in the mood to pamper yourself a little bit this week while supporting cruelty-free products, you should check out Bon Coeur Home and Wellness. It's the best place in Portland to find everything from chic home decor to cannabis accessories. They've got a curated collection of vegan and cruelty-free home goods and wellness products because their name is French for kind heart, after all. You'll get a 20% discount on your first order when you sign up for emails this week at boncoeur.net. That's boncoeur.net and use the code BONCOEURCITYCAST20.
Last month, it was reported that the FBI may have quietly reopened one of the greatest unsolved Pacific Northwest mysteries of all time. The case of D.B. Cooper, the infamous hijacker who parachuted out of a plane and disappeared somewhere over Southwest Washington in 1971. So we thought, hey, this would be a perfect time for all of our new listeners to hear the story of filmmaker T.J. Regan, who thinks he might have solved the case. So today on CityCast Portland, we're listening back to my 2023 conversation with TJ about his documentary, I Am D.B. Cooper, where he joins the supposed D.B. Cooper on a treasure hunt looking for his remaining ransom money. It's Monday, March 11th. I'm Claudia Mesa, and this is what Portland's talking about. What makes you so sure that you found the right guy? Like, one of the interesting things about your film is not just how much you guys believed him, but how eager everyone was to believe him, if that makes sense. Like, it was like someone saying, Santa Claus does exist. And everyone's like, we knew it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, we want to play you a clip of, I don't know if it was your sound guy or your camera guy, it might've been your camera guy, just having that feeling after meeting him.
Like the stuff that he's talking about. He's so detailed. He's like Jesus. He's either a psychopath, liar, narcissist, or it's true. It's crazy.
What are you thinking right now? What are you thinking?
Honestly, after that, I'm kind of convinced. He would be going to such great lengths, all for like a lie. Which, again, is possible, but I'm starting to be convinced.
Why is everyone so dead set on believing this guy? I mean, it was just, he had all the right answers? Was that it?
Yeah, I mean, he had all the right answers. Like I said, every reason that he had was very plausible. I didn't know much about D.B. Cooper. So when I found out that we might be doing this, I immediately started, you know, brushing up the facts and watching some documentaries online and reading case evidence and all of that. So my plan was, let's bring this guy down there and go try to find this money, right?
And can you explain the money, what the money is to people who maybe not know the lore?
Yes. So in 1971, a man named Dan Cooper boarded an airplane from Portland to Seattle and then ransomed the airplane for $200,000. 20-30 minutes into the flight, the myth goes that he lowered the back staircase and jumped out of the airplane, never to be seen again.
And he knew like everything about this plane. He knew, like, that's what everybody was blown up. Like, how did he know that was the kind of plane that you could jump out of, you know?
Yes, exactly. So our bounty hunters, they're my friends, they found this man and he says, I obviously survived because I'm here and I buried the money off the Columbia River a quarter mile up from where they found money on Tina Bar. So Tina Bar is a well-known area because in the early 80s, a father and son, they found $5,800 of D.B. Cooper's money. All the serial numbers matched. Rodney Bonifield comes to us and says, I am D.B. Cooper. I buried the money a quarter mile up from where they found that $5,800. So the plan as a team was to go down and help him find this money.
Right. What do you think about this lore? It's the only unsolved case of like air piracy in the history of commercial aviation. So I know like that's one bit, like he fought the law and he won. I mean, we think. Mm-hmm. But what is it? What do you think about D.B. Cooper makes him such a good Pacific Northwest folk anti-hero.
Yeah, and I think that even when you said, like, the only unsolved air piracy in all of the world, I think more what makes him a legend, you know, worldwide or in the United States, or speaking of him as this, you know, this myth, it is because he was able to get away and do things in a way that he wasn't able, he didn't harm anyone. He got away with the money. He, you know, he kind of stuck it to the man in a sense.
And he was polite. Remember, everyone was like, and he was so polite. Everyone was charmed by him.
Yes, exactly. And they were charmed by him. And even the, you know, the stewardess, you know, I think she might have said that he was cute or something like that, you know. So it was very much like this thing that happened and was never solved. And I think that's why it's such a great myth or such a great moment in history, because he did it without harming anyone and he was able to stick it to the man, you know.
I said a little bit about this, but he's a hero. Everyone has an idea of him, who he is. I have some criticisms. I'm sorry. I saw your movie and we just said this guy is polite. He's suave. Your guy. And I mean, no disrespect to, you know, Mr. Bonfield. You kind of made him look like an asshole. Like he, I feel like your DB Cooper was not a cool guy. And I'm curious what your idea of DB Cooper was before and after, you know, meeting your suspect. Yeah.
My idea of D.B. Cooper beforehand, you know, D.B. Cooper was this Jason Bourne, James Bond type of character, you know, suave and all of that. But then as I started investigating with him, it really switched to, wow, this really could be him. Because like you said, I made him look like an asshole. I don't necessarily think I made him look like an asshole. I think that he made himself probably look
like an
asshole.
No, of course. Let's rewind. TJ, you just presented a man, and that man had asshole-like characteristics.
And for him to be a lifelong criminal, obviously he had to be an asshole. I mean, in the film, he talks about how he was on 20 or 30 armed robberies. You know, I mean, nobody's a good person that does that. But once you feel it with his reasoning, right, and why he did it, first of all, there's a discrepancy in age. He would have been really young when he did this. And they said he was like 30 to 40 years old, right?
Right.
So I asked him why, you know, why? Well, he was up for 4 days straight on meth, pretty much, on speed. And he hadn't slept. And he actually showed us a picture of him when he was 20, and he had a receding hairline. The other thing is that, like I said before, he had an answer to everything. And when he really gave his reason, which his reason was that he was heartbroken. His girl had left him. He was high on drugs. And he was trying to get her back in a very malicious, maniacal type of way.
I don't understand how that connects to his girlfriend, getting back his girlfriend by hijacking a plane and then successfully getting away with money that he never used.
Yes. So
that he hid.
That he hid. So... This is what makes it so interesting. So what his story was is that he knew that she was shopping in Portland, right? Because, you know, people in Washington, they go down and shop in Portland, Oregon, because they save on taxes. Yes.
Yeah.
So he went down to try to get her, right? And he went down to pretty much take her hostage. He built a bomb and he was going to go take his girlfriend hostage.
Not my D.B. Cooper.
Not your D.B. Cooper, but this one.
go on.
Yeah. So he did that because he knew that his girl was seeing another man. He found out that she had already left the mall. So he wanted to beat her back to Seattle because he knew that she had already left. So he boarded the airplane from Portland to Seattle to beat her there. And while he was on the plane, he knew that he already had the bomb. So he said, you know what? I already have this. This isn't going to be, I'm not going to take her hostage anymore. I'm going to take the plane, get $200,000 and flee the country. That was pretty much his reasoning.
I'm sorry. I'm going to pause you there for a sec because that is the most ridiculous plan B I've ever heard. You know, when you're just like, I'm going to go to a restaurant and it's closed. And you're like, now, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm going to make one. I'm going to start a restaurant.
Anything is possible if you're up for 4 days on methamphetamine.
Case in point.
You're
all right.
You know?
No.
Yeah. People do crazy things. And I think that if it is true and if this is what he did do, it is plausible. It could happen.
Also, what is like more Northwest than like meth?
Yes, exactly. There you go. A drug-induced stupor.
Okay, let's take a break here. And when we come back, TJ is going to share the big pieces of evidence that link his guy to DB Cooper. So you did a ton of research on D.B. Cooper to make this movie, obviously. But what details about the hijacking, like what new things in your research did you find that you hadn't heard before that you think most people haven't heard?
The two pieces of solid evidence that really brought us to think that it could possibly be him. One is that in recent discoveries, they had found a certain type of titanium alloy on his tie that would only be done by an engineer or somebody that worked at Boeing, right? I asked Rodney, why were you wearing a suit and where did you get the suit from? He said, I got it from my father, right? Back in the day, people used to wear suits to go work at Boeing. And we did our fact checking. Rodney's father worked at Boeing in the area that he might be able to have gotten some of those particles on his tie, right?
Oh, well, okay. Okay, so here's the deal.
Yes.
The son of someone who works at Boeing, what did his dad do in Boeing?
His dad worked in the engineering department of Boeing.
So you're saying that the son might also, because his father is an engineer of planes, would have knowledge of how this plane would work.
No. So that would be the second part is that the reason why Rodney knew about the airplane is because he had this friend named Roger Gackle. Roger Gackle's father worked on airplanes as well, and he was a flight controller. And we have confirmed that there is a man named Gackle that worked as a flight controller. So Rodney's friend Roger brought him to his dad's work, and his dad showed him all of the inner workings of the airplane and how it worked.
So that was his story.
That was his story of how he knew about the airplane, right? Mm-hmm. So again, he's just saying these stories using these names, and these names are checking out for us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I brought you on, TJ, because I'm kind of a big D.B. Cooper nerd, and I like was just yelling at your documentary, but in a good way. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was just like, what do you mean? You know, so there's been some speculation. I'm sure you saw this too, that a big reason that D.B. Cooper wasn't found, if he is alive, is that they've been looking for a white guy and that he might have not been white, if that makes sense. But according to, you know, some didactic FBI file from like some D.B. Cooper heads, the woman was like, he was swarthy. He was, and also like the description is olive skin. And Rodney is pink.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about those theories or that theory in particular, that maybe this dude might have been indigenous to the area, like quite literally, or not a white guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what you're saying is very plausible. I think the one thing that I do have to just say or address is the fact that I'm telling the story of my D.B. Cooper. I'm telling the story of Rodney Bonifield's story. Mm-hmm. Whether or not it's true or not, I'm telling the story of a man who has been claiming to be D.B. Cooper since 1971. Because the FBI could watch my film tomorrow, or they've already seen it, and completely chalk him off the list because, like you said, you're yelling at the screen saying, this is crazy, and it is. You know, that I completely agree with you as well.
It's a good ride, though. Okay, after all this, do you still believe him? Do you believe Rodney, after spending that much time with him, do you still believe that he is your D.B. Cooper?
So I have a classic answer to this, because obviously that's a main question. I would not bet my life that it is Rodney Bonifield. I would also not bet my life that it's not.
So, oh, God dang, TJ.
Even hanging out with this man for multiple days, being around him, going to this location, you know, him spewing all his bullshit, you know, because there was a lot of bullshit. In the film, you'll see it, as well as you'll see it. There's stuff we didn't put in there. But I still wouldn't be able to say that it's not him. I can't. I wouldn't. All of us guys had this, you know, bullshit meter that would go up and down. So there would be times we're looking at each other like, wow, this guy really duped us. We started calling him D.B. Duper, you know, we're like, this guy really duped us. But then it would go back up with certain facts and things that were happening. So it was very much a kind of a roller coaster of a ride. But regardless, this old man, like, really put it in our minds of 10 guys that thought that they were somewhat intelligent, you know, to take him all the way down 200 miles down to the Columbia River and try to dig up his money. So,
right. Do you remember that scene in your movie, and I believe it was Rodney's recounting of like the first time he told someone, which was of course to impress a woman. And he was in a bar, and then the news came on. It was like 71. And this woman out loud was just like, oh, you know, D.B. Cooper, you know. And she was like, do you think he's out there just like sipping on, you know,
a pina colada
on the beach just with his money? And he was just like, yeah, or he could be right next to you.
Uh-huh.
So I'm asking you, do you think that maybe D.B. Cooper could be talking to you right now, TJ? Could it be me? Reincarnated.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
It went a little too high, TJ. Your yeah went, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Okay, so that's out. That theory's out.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I just want you to say it once, just out loud.
Oh, no. I do not think you're D.B. Cooper. No.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I think that if you were reincarnated, let's just say that he did pass away after he jumped out of the plane and drowned in the river. If he was reincarnated into you, then that obviously shows that he was a good man because he was reincarnated into someone so wonderful like yourself. So, I mean, obviously.
Oh, my God, TJ.
He did the right thing.
This is it. This is. That's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend, rate, or leave us a review. It really does help us out. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you its limbs.